Thank you. Good morning. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. It is my pleasure to be here this morning. I am a little bit tired. We had a big day yesterday. And it is, in fact, my very first official speaking as a national leader of InterServe. And it is such a delight that I am here with Chitra, who is an InterServe partner from India, and she will knock your socks off. So buckle up and get ready to what she has to share. So Chitra, if you would like to come up. Chitra is a social worker in India, and she's a mother. She's today far away from her two sons. So keep her in a prayer. Keep her in your prayers as she's sharing today what she is about, what she's about, and what she's doing in India. Thank you. I'm going to pray for her, if that's all right. Lord, we are so thankful for sending us this beautiful woman who's a child of yours and who loves you dearly and who is striving to serve you in the best possible way, Lord. And she is courageous and, she's full of your love, Lord. And we just pray that what she's sharing with us today is what you have laid on her heart for the people in front of us right now, and that each and every one of you hearing from her can take away a little bit of what God is about. Lord, we'll just bless you and praise you for all that you do every day. Amen.
So I'm a little bad at standing in one place. Okay, so I'm going to So if I'm going this side, that side, please forgive me. Or if you want me to stay still, just do this. So someone told me, I teach, and one of my students said, seeing you teach is like watching a tennis match. So that's my lovely husband. And I'm pointing in the wrong direction. I should first turn it on. I forgot that. I told I would get messy when I get to handling this, pointing in the wrong direction. And could I get down? Is it okay if I get down? Yeah, that's great. I don't need this for you. Yours comes from there. That's just for me to have a look. So wonderful to be here. And as you can see, I'm Indian. I'm South Indian. I come from what we call in India God's own country, Kerala. But I'm right now based in Bangalore. And so I come from a different faith background. And I'll tell you a little bit of my story a little later. But that's my family there, my husband and my two boys. So this is a little bit to give you a little bit of our lives. We love celebrating festivals and we love doing things as a family and we love our culture. So that's the fire out there is a harvest festival. Then the one next with the flowers and the eating in the banana leaves. Check if this is working. Yeah. Is Onam, another festival. And down here is Diwali, where we light lamps. And then my boys in the dark there, just a bad photograph, that is them celebrating Holi, putting colors on each other. So they went to their friend's house, played the whole day and came back like that. Now, mothers, you imagine how much trouble I had cleaning those clothes. So that's a little bit of us trying to live in a way that honors God and honors our culture. Okay, my husband and I are social workers and we loved working on issues of justice for over two decades. And then God gave us this call to be peacemakers. And it was a very difficult call because when you work for justice, sometimes you feel so right to be angry against those people who do wrong, like the story that we heard today. Wow, such a wonderful thing to be like Elijah, and to tell off all those people who do wrong things. And somehow we felt peace wouldn't give us the freedom to do that. But God called us into a ministry of peace, and both of us teach and train in colleges and other places where we get opportunities on both you know, on peace building, conflict resolution, interfaith work, rights-based, justice-based work. One of the things that my husband's leading, which I want to tell a little bit about, is we work in the prisons in Bangalore. And sometimes, what is the things that come to our mind when we think of prisoners? What's usually the thought? Sadness, okay. Violence. Men, okay. Huh? Mental illness. Fear, have you thought of criminals? Fear. Often when you meet somebody who's been in prison, not in a positive setting, you know, okay, then you somehow feel your children need to be kept safe. Or, but the story of, many of these people is they are broken people. And our prayer that the Lord laid on our heart for our country, where there's a lot of violence and where there's a lot of trouble, is that, you know, He will make peace our governor, righteousness our ruler. No longer will violence be heard on our land, nor ruin within its borders. Make our gates salvation and our walls praise. You know, that's our prayer, that we would have a world where there wouldn't be violence and there would be wouldn't be brokenness. I know it may not happen in our lifetime in this world, but we work towards that. We work towards that vision of seeing, you know, our walls and our gates not be ones that build barriers, but that give praise and that bring people into salvation. This is some of the work we do in the prisons. We work with the women prisoners. So women are in prison often, very, very broken story. They're there for lifetime sometimes, many of them, and with no hope and no means to support themselves or their children outside. And we work with them. We do life skills and livelihoods work with them, just giving them a hope and a future. You know, we do a very small work. The prison is huge. We have 4,500 people in that prison. And we have a psychiatric ward inside a huge hospital in that prison. And we work with the psychiatric patients too, trying to do work with them so that they just don't sit in their rooms, you know, under medication, but they're able to interact, they're able to work with groups, be gainfully engaged. So there are also a lot of young people in the prisons, 19, 20-year-olds, who are there for life. And sometimes most of them don't come into the prison as criminals, but being in a setting of that kind, which is really corrupt and violent, makes them that, and we want to give them opportunities not become that, but have a way to, you know, rebuild their lives. So we have, we aspire to, and we just started on the journey trying to have a music school. So to get people who are amazing worship leaders and, you know, have talent for music within the church to come and volunteer to do music with the students, people who are teachers to teach so that people can, you know, pass 10th and their basic exams and do studies so that when they are released, if they are, they would have an employment and they don't have to go to a, you know, a life of crime. So that's a little bit of what we do. I'm not here because I'm an amazing peacemaker. On the contrary, I'm here because God constantly reminds me that I have a heart at war, but He's challenging me to be a peacemaker. And so we invite all of us as believers to be in search of radical solutions for conflict and violence. You know why? Because it's not an option. What does Matthew 5:9 say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. How many of you claim to be children of God? So if you claim to be a child of God, you can be called that only if you're a peacemaker. So being a peacemaker is not an option. But if we claim to be children of God, we've got to be that. And it is a challenging situation, but God is calling us into that. Could I have the other thing? So, I think we were, as I said, I came with a lot of anger against people. And God challenged us through various situations and things to say that, you know, It's like me shouting at my son and saying, don't shout at your brother. How many times have I told you not to shout at your brother? You know, I am angry with him and I'm telling him not to be angry. And that's often our cycle of violence. But God challenges, and we will see a little bit of what God taught us. But happy Mother's Day. Not just to those who have the legal official motherhood title, but all of us who care and nurture others. You know, and I think we all have the heart of a mother and the spirit of a mother. So happy motherhood to all of us. So which doesn't even mean only women. All of us who nurture, all of us. It's a great day to celebrate your mother, of course. And it's also but a great day to remember that God is a God who nurtures and cares and calls us to constantly nurture and care for others. And that's the heart of God. So happy Mother's Day to everyone. Okay. Yes, sure. We don't do psychiatry. There's a psychiatric hospital. We just work with people on, as you said, promoting mental health. So that's our work. And so, yeah, we can talk at the end of, you know, this. So I just want to begin with a story, okay? I love stories and my children love stories. So every night I make up a story for them. They don't like dad's stories because he pulls it out of somewhere. They want mom's stories because I just create them as they go. And so I have to be really creative. But this is not a story by me. I just heard it. I don't know if you have elephants around, but we have elephants in India. So this is a fictitious story of an elephant and a hen. Okay. This is the kind of story children like, imaginative ones. So here was a hen and an elephant, which were good friends. Have you heard of Bollywood movies? Okay, so this is kind of in that style, not real, okay? It's just made up, but with a lot of masala in it. Okay, so hen and the elephant were very good friends. The hen would take her chicks. They lived on the either side of the highway. So every morning the hen would take her chicks from this side of the highway to the other side, feed them, they eat all the lovely worms and everything that they like, and the hen would take them back and they sleep in the farm on the other side. So the elephant would see this every day, but one day as the hen was crossing with the chicks, before the elephant could come, the hen was run over by a truck. But remember, it's a Bollywood movie, so she does not die. Okay? She still has a few moments left. And so she cries out to the elephant, and the elephant comes running. And she holds on to the elephant's trunk and says, I am breathing my last. Please take care of my children like your own children. So the elephant says, upon my life, I will take care of the elephant. I mean, I'll take care of your chicks like my own, very own chicks. And so the elephant takes the chicks. She breathes her last and she dies. And the elephant takes the chicks, stands on the road, no truck there, run over them. They all go to the other side. They feed everything. The evening, the elephant brings them back and puts them to sleep, just the way the hen did. What did you have the next morning? Any ideas? We had chicken chutney. Because how does a hen put an elephant to a hen put her chicks to sleep? She sits on them. So the elephant had seen that this is how the hen puts the children to sleep. So he also did the same. And the next day we had chicken chutney. Why do I share this story? Because none of us have bad intentions. I don't get into my marriage saying, I'm going to be a terrible wife. I don't start my parenting saying, I want to be a terrible mom. I don't become a child saying, I want to make my parents' life miserable. We don't get into this world wanting to mess it up. But often good intentions don't translate into good outcomes. They translate sometimes into chicken chutney. Okay? So, we're going to see how, just to look at that, and in our messy world, okay, the reality of our world is that it's not as peaceful as we would like to be. Now, there is war, there is violence, there is child abuse, there is rape, there is Christchurch that's happened, Sri Lanka that's happened, a synagogue recently that's happened. There's a lot of violence in our world. Are churches very peaceful? It would be a great advert if we can say, come to Jesus Christ and you'll have no problems. But unfortunately, God doesn't love the world outside less than He loves us. He loves all of us because He created all of us. Sometimes the children who don't listen to us and go away are more dear to us, isn't it? And so God loves this whole world, and the mess that we make is the mess that we get. And we live in this messy world that we have made, you know, a lot of chicken chutney around. And we struggle with that, isn't it? And yet, God calls us to be peacemakers. So how do we, living in struggling marriages, living in broken relationships with our parents, even think of doing any better? How do we fulfill our calling to be a peacemaker? You know, God is a God of justice. I know it's a very gruesome story that we read today, but it shows that God is a God of justice, isn't it? Did you listen to the story? Here was a king, okay, here was a government wanting a property to build a road. Okay, fair enough. They say, you change of this land, I will give you some other land. But according to the Jewish law, you are not supposed to sell the land of your ancestors. So he says, no, I won't. And then they use legal methods. If somebody talks against God or the king, they can be stoned to death. So legally, they kill him. It's very legal. Because there was enough evidence, two people in the court came and said that he blasphemies against God. And so he could be killed, and he is killed. You know, sometimes our world is like that, full of injustice. You know, people in our country, in living in forest areas, are being thrown out because companies want to come and mine coal there, or because the government wants to give it to companies to make special economic zones. They are given land somewhere displaced because we urbanized as rootless people don't understand what land means to the people of the land. It is their identity. It is who they are. It is where their grandparents, their grand people are buried. And injustice is everywhere. You know, it's sometimes they're right next to us in our workplaces. Sometimes they're elsewhere, but God does not ignore. It's sometimes done against us. No, the hope is God does not turn a blind eye towards injustice. The messy world may mean we are facing injustice or others are facing injustice, but this story gives hope because God sends Elijah to say, what you have done, you're going to pay for it. So our God is a God of justice. You know, He's a God who, when in Genesis, you know, the Adam and Eve sinned against God, He did not say, oh, it's okay. There was a consequence because God is a God of justice. And in Revelation, there is God, you know, judging the earth. There is justice. God is a God of justice. Now, all through, if you read Isaiah, if you read Kings, if you read the prophets, God talks about a God of justice. And through the New Testament, oh, God is a God of justice. Paul teaches about justice. But we don't often see it in our lives. And the challenge is, what do I do when I see injustice? How do I respond when I see injustice against me? And how do I respond when I see injustice against others? Sometimes I get angry and upset when the injustice is against me. I shout and I fight. You know, in India, one of the struggles we have is when the church is persecuted, we are all coming to fight for the church. But when a Muslim young man gets butchered, when a Dalit guy gets killed, the church is not coming out in the streets. Is that God's calling? And if God is calling you to a heart of justice, God is calling you into a mission field where there's injustice, you know, God is going with you like God went with Elijah. You know, God goes and accomplishes. When Nathan went to David, right? Nathan went to David, and if he told David, David, you killed Uriah, you've done a wrong thing, God's going to punish you, David would have said, off with his head. But he was very smart. God gave Nathan the creativity to talk a story, and then David judges himself. Right? He says, kill that man. And then Nathan says, you are the man. Now God is with you, and God is calling us as peacemakers to stand up for injustice, stand up against injustice, stand up for the people who are facing injustice. Okay? But God is also the God of peace. God of justice doesn't mean a God who just says off with you. He is a God who fulfills his justice by his love and sacrifice on the cross. And I want to look at this God of peace through the eyes of Jesus. How did Jesus encounter people and encounter the culture of violence that is there around us? What did Jesus do? Okay. So, you know the story of Mary and Martha? Yeah? So, Jesus comes to Mary and Martha's house. Okay, you know, Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's house for a meal. Wow! Jesus is coming to our house for dinner. What would you cook? What would you do? How much of preparation would you do? You know, what's the best meal you can do? And which is the cutlery you would take out? And how would you decorate your room? Jesus is coming home for dinner. Would it be a busy day? Would it be a busy day? Yes. Yeah, out preparing, doing, working, working, working. And then he comes in through the door. And I mean, I imagine the Indian way, okay? So here is Martha making biryani for Jesus and all her, you know, all his disciples, which means it's a huge pot of biryani because they were 12 men. Can you imagine? 12 young men feeding them, plus whoever else, extras were there. Oh my God, that's going to be a big pot that you need to cook. And she's helping, and she's, you know, cutting the onions and cutting the tomatoes and, you know, cleaning up the meat and soaking the rice. And I have only two hands, and she's working hard. And she says, okay, where's my sister? She's supposed to help me in the kitchen. She looks out for Mary, and where's Mary? Is Mary to be found cleaning up the chicken or washing the rice? Where is she? She is happily sitting in the living room listening to Jesus. How dare she? You know, usually when the guests come, in Indian culture, the women are found in the kitchen and the men are found being the hospitable ones in the hall. And I'm sure in the Jewish tradition too, it wasn't the tradition for the woman to sit in the living room with the men. She was doing something that is not accepted in their culture. She was sitting in the front hall with the man looking up at Jesus' face. Don't look up at the man in our culture. And who was angry? We don't know others how the disciples felt about it, but we know clearly from the Bible, one person felt very angry about it. And who was that? The sister. You know, if you are a woman or a man managing the house, and if you have others in the house who take no responsibility whatsoever for doing things around the house, our blood boils, isn't it? I just cleaned that up and you just put the wet towel there. I just cleaned up the sink and then there you come, plonk your cup. We don't have dishwashers, but I've just finished washing the dishwasher, and then you just put your dirty cup inside the dishwasher without even bothering to clear up. I did that this morning. I didn't realize that was a clean. We get so angry. You're not helping. How dare you? You are supposed to be helping inside the house. And then she just, like I do, want to be a good Christian. I'm not going to shout. I'm just going to go around doing my job. I just put the vessels down a little loudly. And I just stir the biryani a little loudly so that she can hear in the hall and maybe move and feel guilty and come. And so I just murmur to myself a little loudly. You know, oh, there's so much to be done. Oh, the chicken is not washed yet. And after 10 minutes, by which time the thermometer of anger has gone, few strokes high. I'm saying this because I've done it. I'm sure you have no idea. You're all nice, loving people, you know. And in the 10 minutes that my husband sleeps extra, when I've told him to get up, if he was there, we would have shown the skit, okay? How my anger decibels go high. Then when he comes in and says, hi dear, how are you? How dare you? Then we are out in the car and he has no clue why I'm angry. He has no clue that it makes a difference to me. But here is Martha and Mary has no clue. She's happily listening to Jesus. And then her anger shifts. She says, here's my terrible sister who's not helping, bad enough. Jesus, can't you see she's sitting with the men in the hall, in the living room, doing no housework? How can she, a woman, not be helping out, set up dinner? Can't you tell her to go and help me? Then she's thinking about this for another 10 minutes possibly. Depends how fast your anger rises as to how long you hold on to it, you know. And finally, she can't bear it anymore. So what does she do? Does she go and tell Mary, come on and help me in the kitchen? No. She goes right up to Jesus and says, what? She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister is not helping me? That she is being so selfish. She is being so terrible. And I can hear the Lord. I have done this with the Lord so many times. Lord, my terrible husband. Lord, my terrible children. Lord, that horrible co-worker who doesn't take responsibility. And I can just hear him call me as he calls Martha. Chitra, Chitra. You know, in the Bible it says he called Martha, Martha. With a lot of love. And she would have felt, yes, my Lord is going to endorse me and send my sister packing into the kitchen so she can help me. And she stands waiting, smiling for the Lord to send her Stella off her sister. And who gets the telling off? He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. But only one thing is important. And Mary has chosen the right thing. And that brings us to the violence of doing and being. You know, initially when I read the story, I always thought the Lord was saying, don't do things, just be. Unfortunately, that's not what the Lord is telling. You know, when we see things through our culture of violence lens, we want sometimes to be people who do things. And sometimes we Christians are constantly so motivated to do things that our families are falling apart. We have no time to spend with our spouse, with our children, with our, you know, and we are just doing and doing and doing. But sometimes we can be alone spending time with God and we have this mind that is overworking, worrying about everything, getting angry with everybody. So I'm still violently doing in my mind. So what Jesus was pointing out to Martha is, you are worried about many things. The problem is not that you are in the kitchen working when you should be sitting here. No. The problem is in your mind, even if you were sitting here, you are not as still. He's inviting us to be in his presence in our minds and in our hearts and feelings, not necessarily with our hands. And God is calling us to break the molds that we put for ourselves. I need to be like this because I am Indian. I need to be like this because I am a woman. I need to be like this because I am a Christian. Break the molds that we put ourselves. As men, sometimes we, in India, we give them freedom only to get angry. They can't cry, they can't be sad, they can't be inadequate, they can't be embarrassed. And then all that emotions well up and there's a lot of violence. As women, sometimes we are not allowed to be angry. That creates a lot of mental health issues too. The men need to break the molds because God gave all of us all the emotions in the world. And it's the molds that we put ourselves into. And having that space to gaze upon God, not to be driven by anything that anybody else imposes on us. To be at peace with God and to be at peace with ourselves. That's my story. When I came to know the Lord from a different faith background, I was challenged to a relationship with God. Not to just be forgiven, but to be a relationship with the God of this universe. And when I was discipled, I thought, all this is bad. All my relationships are bad. I cut off my relationship with my family. I built a big wall instead of building a bridge for Christ to walk into. And then later I learned that that is not God. God wanted me to build a bridge where people can see the love of God and encounter him as the God of peace and God of justice. And that's, go home and read 2 Kings 5, chapter 5. When, Elisha is asked, please forgive me when I bow down to idols. He says, go in peace. God gave me the peace to go back and be within my culture, celebrate my culture, celebrate my family, and live a life honoring to God. So I want to give you this time to pray and reflect. Wait, just a minute. Let me close in prayer. Okay? Yeah. Let me close in prayer. I just want to ask you, invite you to give up the molds of culture of violence and to come into a culture of peace. Jesus invites us to come into being like a Mary. Not because of whether we are doing or not doing, but in our hearts and in our minds. Let us allow God to bring our hearts to peace, to accept ourselves, to live with the presence of Christ in our heart, to look at him, allow him to go into the hurting places in our hearts allow him to be our healer, then to extend love to the people around us. Sometimes we can hold on to resentment and unforgiveness. Today, I invite you to a culture of peace, to let go and to give that forgiveness, to give that apology. As Mother's Day, to care and love for each other. And finally, to be peacemakers in this world, to go across the globe, wherever God calls us, or to go next door to our neighbor and to build peace. Take a minute to just respond to whatever God is stirring into your heart. Lord, I pray for your presence in our lives. We need you, Lord. We are like Martha, worried about many things. But we hear you call us by name today and say, my dear daughter, my dear son, you're worried about many things. But only one thing is important. That is spending time with me. Allowing me to change you so you can go out and change the world. I invite you into that relationality with Christ that would affect our relationships with all those who are around us. Lord, help us this day and in the days to come to allow you to transform us. Transform our relationships with our loved ones and then to extend that transformation into a world that is hurting. Have your way in our lives. Thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Maybe after this.